Welcome to St. Martin in the Fields, and welcome to Great Sacred Music, and a special welcome to those joining us online. If you're one of those people that believes there's been no real music written since 1700, then today is the day for you. We're calling this Renaissance and Tudor music for Eastertide, but it could equally well be called Easter in Latin. You may not know one fact about the celebration of Easter, which is that up until about the turn of the first millennium, the portrayal of Christianity was all about the resurrection, that you don't get images of the cross in Christian art from the first 10 centuries or so. You get pictures of the cross, which we now assume is the fundamental symbol of Christianity, only from about the 11th century onwards. So Easter was the focal festival of the Christian year for the first 10 centuries. Of course, it still is, because Cadbury's have looked after any issues about the merch for that. But Easter has to take a sort of slight second place these days after Christmas. The first 10 centuries, no question at all. Easter was the central festival because the resurrection of Christ was the whole raison d'etre of Christianity. You just wouldn't have Christianity without the resurrection. Well, we're going to start, as we always do, by singing a hymn together, which you'll find on the inside of these sheets. If you haven't got one of these sheets, you can find one, and you're in the building, you can find one most of the way back in the main aisle. Percy Diemer is a person that you should know about if you don't already. He was an English Anglican priest and liturgist, and he was best known as the author of the Parson's Handbook, which he wrote in the early 20th century, a liturgical manual for Anglican clergy. He was also one of the editors of the English Hymnal in 1906. He was a lifelong socialist, an early advocate of the public ministry of women, although he didn't support the ordination of women, and he was very concerned with social justice. Along with Vaughan Williams and Martin Shaw, he helped to revive and spread traditional and medieval English music. When he was compiling English Hymnal with Vaughan Williams in 1906, he wrote this hymn to fit an old German tune. He said he wrote it for Eastertide because there was a dearth of cheerful Easter tunes. If you don't know the tune to this hymn, it isn't actually all that cheerful. But we're going to sing it cheerfully together, aren't we? So we remain seated as the voices stand and lead us as we sing A Brighter Dawn is Breaking.
Thank you.
Now we're going to hear two 16th century Easter pieces. The first is Haec Dies, written by William Byrd. You'll be familiar with the fact that a lot of William Byrd's Latin pieces are full of secretive information, because being a closeted Roman Catholic in the late 16th century was such a dangerous thing to be. And one of the people that suffered during the persecutions of the 16th century was the Jesuit Father Edmund Campion, who was tortured and executed, having arrived from the continent to minister to the Catholic community in England. And the words of Haec Dies, which come from Psalm 118, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day being understood to be Easter Sunday, a kind of reprise of the first day of creation. These were believed to be the last words spoken by Father Edmund Campion. Then we're going to hear a piece from Victoria, the 16th century Spanish composer, Victor Mai Pascali, which is a sequence set for the Catholic Mass on Easter Sunday, usually attributed to the 11th century Vipo of Burgundy, chaplain to the Holy Roman Emperor Conrad II. It's one of only four medieval sequences that were preserved in the Roman Missal of the Tridentine Mass, published in 1570 after the Council of Trent. The others you may be more familiar with included Veni Sancti Spiritus, still sung at ordinations in the Anglican and Catholic churches. That was for Pentecost, and Dies Irae for the Requiem Mass. So it's one of those four. It does include, for the theologians among you, the intriguing line, "The Lamb has redeemed the sheep." By that, of course, it's referring to the Lamb of God, which is the designation given by John the Baptist to Jesus in John chapter 1, and the sheep, the reference in John chapter 10, to Jesus laying down his life for the sheep and then taking his life back up again. But it's such an intriguing line, I've never come across it anywhere else. "The Lamb has redeemed the sheep," a fascinating way to mark Easter Sunday. Let's enjoy Byrd and Victoria together now.
Sepulchro
Well, we're going to hear a piece arranged by John Taverner now, based on the opening of the last chapter of Mark's Gospel, when the women go to the tomb. And if you remember, Mark's Gospel ends in the middle of a sentence. For they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And for they were afraid is really not a complete sentence. So many dissertations have been written about the end of Mark's Gospel and whether it was supposed to end there or the last page was lost, although you have to remember they didn't have pages in those days, they had scrolls. So it's a great mystery, and Taverner's setting captures the mystery when the Sabbath was over. Mary of Magdala, Mary the mother of James and Salome brought aromatic oils intending to go and anoint Jesus. There's a sense of anticipation, there's a sense of lament, moments before this, of course, this great surprise with the announcement of the resurrection. I remember preaching about this passage at a wedding long, long ago, and comparing the experience of the first Easter morning, the balance between fear and joy, because it says in Mark's Gospel, fear and joy grip their hearts, to the experience of your wedding day, where you may be overcome by those two same emotions of fear and great joy. And I do remember saying that it was true of the resurrection, as I hoped it would be true of this couple's marriage, that joy wins. I'm glad to say 27 years later, it seems that way. Let's enjoy Taverner's piece now.
Thank you.
Well, it's our turn to sing and join in again now, and we're going to sing Christ the Lord is Risen Again, which is a German Christian hymn published by Michael Weisser in 1531 and translated into English in 1858 by Catherine Winkworth. If you're not familiar with Catherine Winkworth, you really should be, because she did more than any other single individual to make the heritage of German hymns available to the English-speaking world. She was born in Hoban, just up the road here, in 1827, moved to Manchester and then Bristol, and then lived in Germany for quite a number of years. She published in 1854 her book Lyra Germanica, collection of German hymns that she'd chosen and translated into English, including this one. If there's a German hymn that you're familiar with that's been translated into English, it was almost certainly translated by Catherine Winkworth. We owe her a great deal. We're going to remain seated. The voices stand and lead us as we sing Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord is risen again. We're coming towards the end of Great Sacred Music for this week. I hope you've enjoyed yourself. If you have, there's an opportunity to make a donation as you leave by swipe or in cash. You may be interested to know about our sister program, Choral Classics, that takes place 3:15 every Sunday afternoon. Next Thursday at 1 o'clock, at the same time, Great Sacred Music will be marking Shakespeare's birthday. We're going to finish with a piece by the 17th century Dutch composer Samuel Schacht, really the first great German organ composer, stayed in Germany during the 30 Years' War, studied with the Dutch composer Jan Sweelinck, and was one of the earliest German composers to mix the traditional Germanic chorale with the more modern textures emerging from Italy. The words of this anthem are nothing to get terribly surprised about. They fit into the category of you can put almost anything in an Easter hymn so long as you end every line with Alleluia. Thanks for joining us.